You may be seated. What is the meaning of life? Now that's a poser. I'm sure you all ponder it daily. What is the meaning of life? Well, some years ago, when we lived on Washington Island, Joyce directed the play based on Robert Fulghum's book, All I Really Want to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. In fact, it was a great success. If I do say so, Joyce really is a fine director. And many in the audience were more than a bit surprised to find out that this is anything but a children's play. The play closes with a scene called, Are There Any Questions? Well, one of the characters pops up with, What is the meaning of life? Of course, the audience laughed at this rather absurd and funny question. But like most of the scenes in the play, what follows is not silly at all. In fact, after the show was over, I found myself thinking about the answer to that silly question and its relevance to the events swirling around us in the world today. And I want to share it with you this morning, taking a few liberties with the script to make the story work in our context. Now, the character who asked the question goes on to say, Once and only once, I asked that question and got a serious answer, an answer that is still with me today. He went on to say that the place where the question was answered has a distinct power of its own. He described a place on the Greek island of Crete, near a small village on a rocky bay, where there is an institute dedicated to human understanding and peace, but especially to reconciliation between Germans and the natives of Crete. The site overlooks a small airstrip where Nazi paratroopers invaded the island and were attacked by peasants wielding kitchen knives and hay scythes. Now, the retribution was terrible. Populations of whole villages were lined up and shot for assaulting Hitler's finest troops. High above the institute is a cemetery with a single cross, marking the mass grave of the native partisans. And across the bay on another hill is the regimented burial ground of the Nazi paratroopers. The memorials are placed so that all might see and never forget. Well, hatred was the only weapon the Greeks had left at the end, and it was the weapon that many vowed never to give up. In this historical place, where the stone of hatred is hard and thick, the existence of an institute devoted to healing the wounds of war is a fragile paradox. Well, the Institute came to be because of a man named Alexander Papaderos, doctor of philosophy, teacher, and politician. At the end of the war, Papaderos came to believe that the people of Crete and those of Germany had much to learn from each other, much to give to one another. For if they could forgive and construct a creative relationship, than any people on this earth could. Well, Papaderos succeeded, and the Institute became a reality, a conference ground on the site of horror and a source of productive interaction between the two countries. Now, the character in the play goes on to say that by the time he came to that Institute for a summer session, Alexander Papaderos was already a living legend. One look at him, he said, and you saw his strength, his intelligence, and his passion. He told me He told how, at the end of the last session of a two-week seminar, Papaderos rose from his chair in the back of the room and walked to the front, where he stood in the bright Greek sunlight of an open window and looked out. The participants followed his gaze across the bay to the Iron Cross marking the German cemetery. And then he turned and asked, "Are there any questions?" And so, of course, our character asked, "Well, Dr. Papaderos, what's the meaning of life?" As everyone else laughed at the absurdity of the question and stirred to leave, Dr. Papaderos raised his hand and quieted the room. "I will answer the question," he said, and pulled a small mirror from his pocket. And then he told this story. "When I was a small child during the war, we were very poor and lived in a remote village. One day on the road, I came across the pieces of a broken mirror, and I tried to find all the pieces and fit them together. But it was not possible, so I kept only the largest piece, this one. I began to play with it as a toy and became fascinated by the fact that I could reflect light into dark places, into deep holes and crevices and dark closets. Became a game for me, trying to get light into the most inaccessible places I could find. I kept this little mirror, and as I went about my growing up, I would take it out in idle moments and renew the challenge of the game. But as I became an adult, I realized that this was more than just a game. It was a metaphor for what I might do with my life. I came to understand that I am not the light or the source of that light. But I realized that the light, truth, understanding, knowledge is there, and it will shine in dark places only if I reflect it. I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Yet with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the black places in the hearts of men, and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. This is what I'm about. This is the meaning of my life." Well, today's collect offers a telling counterpoint to Papaderos' story. "O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory." Now, at the entrance procession of the Easter Vigil, at the beginning of the Exultet, I will chant three times, "The light of Christ, the light of Christ, the light of Christ," as the Paschal candle is processed into the church. As the collect suggests, we, all of us and each of us, must be changed by that light and must reflect the light of Christ into the dark places in our corner of the kingdom. Jesus is the light of the world. We know this. Scripture and hymnody are full of this imagery, perhaps most notably at the beginning of John's Gospel. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." And in today's scriptures, the psalm, the epistle, and the gospel all seem to work together to reinforce the point. And the collect also reinforces the meaning of the transfiguration for us today. As we, through faith, experience and understand Christ's light in our own lives, we too will be transfigured, changed into mirrors that will shine that light into the dark corners of our world. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear, says the psalmist. Recalling the transfiguration described in today's gospel, Peter says, "You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And frankly, I do like the way Dr. Papadaros put it. In essence, he said that when we are moved and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, we will have the opportunity to reflect the light of God's grace into the dark places of the world. I can't think of a better way to describe the essential mission of every Christian. We are called to live our lives in such a way that we become mirrors, mirrors that reflect God's light into the dark places that so desperately need to be illuminated. Our families, our communities, and most certainly our world today are replete with dark places that cry out for the light of Christ. And how is the light of Christ to penetrate those dark places? Only when you and I reflect it. May God, who is our light and our salvation, polish each of us with grace, so that we may each of us be effective mirrors to reflect the light of Christ into every dark place. May it be so.
Amen.